Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, you're the one who gives us the greatest example of how to be a parent. In you, we learn how not only to be a father, but also a mother. How to lead and to guide, to cherish, to protect and to provide, and to love more than anything else. So this morning, Lord, help us as men, and men with a father's heart, and also the ladies here, help us to see in you the greatest example of how to reach the children of this generation for you. A generation that is really struggling, a generation that many times they don't even know anything about you. They grow up with an emptiness in their hearts and their lives become empty, going from day to day, seeking some sort of pleasure or something to make their give their life meaning and purpose. Lord, we are the ones on the front lines. We are the fathers, the mothers, the great-grandparents, the aunts, the uncles. We are Christians who are called to reach the young people, to tell them about the one who loves them more than anything else. But Lord, through these words today, help to impress this on our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As on every Father's Day, I'm not just going to be talking to the fathers here today. Also to the grandfathers, the great-grandfathers, and to all men, either young and old, who have no biological children, but who have a father's heart. We are called to a special purpose, a purpose that is minimizing really all the time. In our media, more and more, a lot of men are portrayed as being kind of foolish and stupid. And in our homes, the role of men is not what it once was years ago. So this morning, I want to look at three areas in which fathers and men in general really need to focus on as we wage war for our children in an ungodly society. And we are in a war. Men, we are responsible to God for our children, which is difficult. And we are also told by the Lord to love our wives. We're caught in the middle. We have to live by example and be obedient at the same time. There was once a father who had five children who had won a toy at a raffle, and he called his kids together and asked which one of them should have this present. Who is the most obedient, he asked. Who never talks back to mother? Who does everything that she says? Five small voices answered in unison, "Okay, Dad, you get the toy." Being a man isn't all that easy these days. I don't believe being a godly man was ever easy. And today is the day that we honor fathers, men with children, and men who are willing to be a father figure to the children around them. We're here to honor our fathers, not because it's a holiday, not because it's a tradition, not because Canadian Tire has a sale on all weekend. We are here to honor our fathers because God said so. In fact, he said so very specifically. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life here in this earth." Notice that it doesn't say honor only good moms and dads. It doesn't say honor them only if you like them. It doesn't say just honor the ones that you think did a good job. It says honor your mother and your father. So today we ought to honor all fathers. So I want to speak directly to the dads here today. And if you're not a dad, don't go into daydream mode on me, because we all need to hear this. Even the ladies that are here today. You see, we are truly involved in a war today, and the battleground is not in Syria or in Afghanistan. The battle that we are facing is right in our homes. And what's at stake is not our land, our property, or even our freedoms. It's way more important than that. What's at stake are our children and their eternal souls. And believe me, it is a war. It's an important war. And in this country right now, we are losing the battle. Children are turning from the faith in record numbers. It's as if as soon as they can, they just leave God behind. And if you don't believe me, look around and see what you see this morning. And in case you think that the problem is only here, it is true all over this nation. Children in record numbers are turning from God. Some are following the example of their parents, and instead of serving God and becoming the people that God created them to be, they have decided to serve the God of money, the God of video games, the God of TV, and the God of iPads. They are following the ruler of this world, who is doing a wonderful job of leading them further and further away from God and the things of the Lord, the things that will bring them the true and abundant life and the eternal life. But this thing is nothing new. It's been happening since the beginning of time. I want to tell you a brief biblical story this morning that's going to be our guide for the remaining time that we have together this morning. But I'll be brief so that you won't be late for your Father's Day lunch. The account is found in the book of Judges in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verses 6 through 12. The nation of Israel had just marched into the Promised Land, and they were just settling into their new land. They hadn't received the complete victory because they hadn't always done things God's way. Beginning in verse 6, we learn that after Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and throughout the lifetime of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance, at Timnath-Heresah in the town of hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the people around them. Does that sound familiar? Once Joshua and his generation had passed away, the next generation turned their back on God and worshipped the gods, those false demonic gods of the people around them. Today, many young people don't wait for mom and dad to pass on. They turn away immediately and worship the god of television and technology. They worship the god of fashion, they worship the god of convenience, the god of sporting events. They worship the god of this world. They worship the things of this world. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 tells us that the world only offers the lust for physical pleasure, the lust for everything that we see, and pride in our possessions. We are told that these things are not from the Heavenly Father. They are from this evil world. And it is these things that are destroying many, many young people today, and many young families as well. What is really sad is that these children and young people are very often getting their example from parents who know better. Parents who once knew the Lord in some way, but are now living just for themselves and for this very temporal life. They are living examples of Jesus' warning, who said, "What good is it if you gain the whole earth, but lose your own soul?" We have countless people today trying to gain more and more of this world, but losing their own soul in the process. A soul who, without Jesus, will spend the whole of eternity separated from his presence in a place of torment. And our war, as fathers and as mothers and as Christians, is to help the young people avoid this eternal fate. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32 closely parallels what is going on in our society today. There it says, "Since they thought it foolishness to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that they should never do. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do the same. Sounds a lot like the world around us today. And I truly believe that we are living in the last moments of the last days. So we have to take very seriously the spiritual war that we as Christians are in. Do you realize that you and I are living in a culture that approves of turning its back on God? From court cases to TV to popular movies, it's just okay these days to make fun of the things of God. Because to our culture, it's not important. It's not relevant. Many people think that following Jesus may have worked for mom and dad, but it's not really for me. It gets in my way of doing things. Well, I can tell you this morning, moms and dads and grandparents, you are the ones who are on the front lines. This is a war, and we are all called to be a part. This morning, I want to give you your marching orders, so to speak, to tackle this important task of saving the younger generation. And we are going to look briefly at just a few steps that will help us to do that. How can we win the war? Well, here are just three suggestions this morning. The first is with our words. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, which I talked about on Mother's Day, we are told by God that these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. You need to talk to your children, no matter how old or how young they are. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the Bible. Read to them the Bible and tell them about what God means to you. If you aren't doing these things, you need to. You ought to. For the sake of the children around you, use your words to glorify the Lord. A study was done recently to determine the amount of interaction that there is between fathers and their small children. First, the fathers were asked to estimate the amount of time that they spent each day communicating with their child. The average answer was about 15 to 20 minutes. Next, microphones were attached to the father so that each interaction could be recorded. And the results of this study was shocking. The average amount of time spent by these middle-class fathers with their small children was 37 seconds per day. Their direct one-on-one interaction was limited to the average of 2.7 encounters daily, lasting 10 to 15 seconds each time. The call of God to teach our children the ways of God in Deuteronomy chapter 6 just can't be done in 37 seconds a day. Do you want to know how much time the culture has with your children? Hours and hours of TV and technology. Hours learning how to shop and how to play, but hardly any time at all to tell them that Jesus loves them and that He has a plan for their lives. If you don't introduce your children to Jesus, who will? Proverbs 1 tells us, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Don't let the schools be the only thing that instruct our children. Don't even let this church be the only thing that instructs your children in the ways of God. The Bible tells us to train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Dads, granddads, uncles, men with a father's heart, how are you doing with your words? Are you fighting for your children? The second point is that we need to fight for our children with our time. What we just saw, which we saw, probably isn't nearly enough. Robert Schuller, the past pastor of the Crystal Cathedral, once said that he chose to fail so that he could succeed. He said, "I chose to fail at golf because I wanted to succeed as a father." Though he loved golf immensely, he knew that he could never devote adequate time to his job, his hobby, and his family. So he gave up his hobby. How are you doing with your time? Something I have to ask myself as well. We looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6, but let's look again at verses 7 and following. It says to impress the truth and the love of God upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols upon your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Dads, do you want to know what is important in your life today? Look at your schedule. Look at your smartphones. Look at your bank statement. And that will show you where your time is devoted to. Unfortunately, many times these things prove that dads love their jobs, they love their hobbies, and they love their entertainment and their comfort. If you ask them if they love their children, they would swear to you that they did. But usually their time doesn't match up. Many men have bought into the thinking of this world that they've got to keep working and working and working so that they can provide the finer things of this world for their family. And don't get me wrong, providing for our families is important and is biblical. But I think that sometimes we go beyond what is necessary because we want another toy, another way of escape, a newer car, a bigger house. We try to gain the world and lose not only our own souls, but set the precedent of our children losing their souls as well. There's a story which is told of a father asking his daughter if she would rather have quantity or quality time with him. She replied, "Quality time, Daddy, and lots of it." I read about a little girl who drew a pretty picture one day. She went into her dad's office, crawled on his lap, and said, "Daddy, come and see my picture." The dad said, "Not now, Dad's busy." About 10 minutes later, she came back again, crawled on his lap, and said, "Daddy, will you come and see my picture now?" The dad got a little frustrated and said, "Can't you see that I'm busy? Don't bother me right now. I'll come and look at your picture when I'm ready." A couple of hours later, the dad came out and said to his daughter, "Can I see the picture now?" And the girl said, "Sure." It was a picture of her and her brother and her mom standing on the lawn with the family dog. But the dad noticed that he wasn't in the picture. He said, "That's a nice picture, sweetheart, but how come I'm not in that picture?" His daughter said, "Because you're always working in your office, Daddy." Time is a precious gift that you and I can never get back once we give away. You can give away all your money and always make more. You can give away gifts and still get new things. But once your time is given, it never comes back. We only get so much time in this world, so we need to use it wisely and for eternal purposes. Time truly reveals the priorities in our lives. And if you want to win the war for your children before it's too late, you've got to invest your time with them. Lastly, to help win the war for our children, we have to do so with our lives. Genesis chapter 18, verses 18 to 19 is a revealing passage. It says, "Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the ways of the Lord by doing what is right and just." Fathers, grandfathers, and all the men here with a father's heart, the way that you live your life will be a direct reflection on how your children grow up. There's a song called "I Want to Be Just like you. It's a song that is sung about a little boy. It's sung to God, and it goes like this. I want to be just like you, Lord, because he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you, because he wants to be just like me. Children, especially when they are little, desire to be like their parents. Not so much when they get older. But how we live our lives for Jesus will impact them for all of eternity. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 3 speaks of a king of Israel named Amaziah. Here we are told that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord in everything, everything. He followed the example of his father, Joash. So that begs the question here this morning. What kind of example are you setting for your children and for your grandchildren? Your words may say some things about you, but your life and how you live it declares who you truly are. Are you fighting the war for your children, your grandchildren, with your lives? Are you showing your children that Jesus is important to you? Do they see you reading your Bible or reading it to them? Do they see you praying and praying with and for them? Do they see you coming to church on Sunday and putting God first on a Sunday morning and for the rest of the week? That is how you and I will win the war for our children. A war that has eternal and everlasting consequences if we don't win. We only get one chance with our children, so we have to make it count. This morning, we have come to honor fathers and those who have been father figures to us over the years. And we have looked at the seriousness of being a father in this day and age. The call of being the spiritual leaders and examples to our children. Some of us had great fathers, but some of us may have had fathers that weren't so great or not even a part of our lives. No matter what kind of father we had here on this earth, because of Jesus, when we place our faith in him as our Lord and our Savior, we can be reunited with the greatest Father of all, our Heavenly Father, the one who knew us before we were even born, the one who wants the best for us, the one who will walk with us on this journey of life, leading us into our true purpose and our real reason for living. So this morning, let us give thanks to God for our fathers, no matter how good or how imperfect they were. But let us also thank God that he is our Heavenly Father, who will give us the desire, the passion, and the ability, if we ask him and seek him, to be the fathers, to be the grandfathers, that will go to war for our own children, so that they will know their Maker as their Heavenly Father as well.